the sun. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight. People next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV and the hour. And I just got home, like now. So we have a problem here. And we have what's going on in Europe has landed here. First, I don't know where the first one was, but we're having so many false flags and straight out murders. And this thing that happened in Toronto, I took a look at it last night, and should really tick everybody off big time. I mean, super big time. This used to be, you know, a country where the people were pleasant. People laughed easily. People enjoyed themselves. We used to manufacture stuff here. We'd have, you know, when a kid got out of school, he pretty much automatically had a job. We had jobs that lasted generations here. And we ain't got none of that now. this thing that happened in Toronto is gone again. What do you mean gone again? Okay, something's going on here. I lose my connection. It says I'm on air. My computer's just dragging. Oh, it says I'm on air. I don't know why this thing is dragging the way it is. But it says I'm on air. It does. Now, I haven't looked at today's news, but there's one thing here, and this is on the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. There's one thing here that I want to say. One, if you watch the video of this carnage, you watch the video of the takedown of the supposed driver of the van, you really got to ask yourself some questions. Now, we know that the police, the chiefs of police are all members of the, the World Police or the Global Chiefs of Police or whatever it's called. The police are completely involved in this garbage. Now, if this guy they took down, who was supposedly driving the van, now had that been a person, a drug addict, or a person with mental problems holding a butter knife, they would have shot him or her dead on the spot. And this video is ludicrous, you know. Unless I looked at it wrong, it looks to me like during this altercation, and there's supposed to be like a gazillion cops, and there's only one cop standing there. And it looks like he goes over to his car. Like he's brandishing his weapon, and then it looks like he goes over to his car, opens the door, and shuts off the sirens. Is that so that we can hear what's being said? What the hell's going on? The guy didn't run away. And it looks like the guy was holding a gun, said he had a gun, and he don't get shot. What the hell's going on? Then they turn around and say that it's going to be a long investigation. Now, when did they say that before? Oh, right, truck blows a stop sign and kills 16 people, and it's going to be a long investigation. What's the investigation? The truck blew the stop sign and wiped out 16 people. Not much of an investigation is required. And now we got the same thing going here. Am I still not online? Am I talking for no reason? Let me hang up and call back in again. Okay, I just reconnected, so let me know if I'm on air or not. I hope the hell I'm on air. I can't see any reason I'm not on air. But I keep getting notices that I was off, and then I was on, and I'm off again. Hopefully I'm back on air. But anyways, like I was saying, if you look at the video, it looks like the guy's got a gun pointed at the cop. Then it looks like the cop goes over and shuts off the sirens in the car. And where the hell's all the other cops? Now, if you got this guy who looks like he's pointing a gun at the cop, how come all these other cops haven't taken this guy out? Why is there one guy and one cop? I mean, we're in downtown Toronto. There's no shortage of cops. So what the hell's going on? Now, down here, I think, is the most interesting part of this whole story. I'm live now. Hot damn. Thank you very much, Christopher. Now, this is interesting. A cop says Mike McCormick, the head of the Toronto Police Association, said it's bringing counselors for officers who responded to the attack. What about all the people that watched this carnage on the street? What all these people had to get the hell out of the way of this thing? I don't hear any mention of them. Don't bring counselors in for the officers. And what he says, this Mike McCormick, head of the Toronto Police Association, says, nobody's seen anything like this. I've been in policing for 30 years. We've never seen this. And again, unfortunately, this is the new world order. It's coming out of the mouth of the chief of the head of the Toronto Police Association. This is the new world order. How many of us have been on air for how many freaking years talking about the new world order? Oh, you're one of those conspiracy theorists, are you? Well, take it from Mike McCormick, head of the Toronto Police Association. This is the new world order. And it is firmly planted in our country. We've got a prime minister that says we're the first post-national state. Anybody thinks that we're not at war, you better give your head a shake. This war has been going on for a long, long time. And now we got this garbage going on. And the police know all about it. The police know all about it. Because Mike McCormick says, this is the new world order. And what else did he say? We're very concerned about it. Well, if you were concerned about it, you'd have guys on the borders to shut the borders down if you were concerned about it. If you were concerned about it, you'd be telling the local people in your neighborhood that we're under international law. There is no Canada. And everybody better wake the hell up and run these sons of bitches out of here. No, he's concerned about it. Well, you're involved in it. You know, you got the Toronto police, you know, promoting every damn thing. Everything that comes down the pipe from the UN, the police promote. Even in my own small town, I had the police, including the chief of police, wearing high heel red shoes. And he wasn't a girl. So they promote everything. They're worried about climate change. They're pro-LGBTQ. They're not shutting the borders down. Okay? They are part of the problem. And if you're a cop and you're listening to this show, you better wise the hell up. Okay? Because your family's future ain't looking too damn bright. You're the guys with the gun, but you got no balls. Now, Ralph Goodale, who I believe was a Bilderberger, or the Bilderberger meetings a few times. Where was that here? Where did I see what Goodale had to say? Speaking at a news conference Monday evening, Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale said that he consulted with senior security officials and police agencies, and based on present information, there appears to be no national security connection in this case. Are you out of your freaking mind, Goodale? There appears to be no national security connection in this case. It's all about our national security. But then we're the first post-national state, so we don't have any national security. Go look at the borders. Go look at who the hell's the minister of immigration. A freaking Muslim. Look in Ontario, who's the attorney general? A Muslim. Go look at the lieutenant governor. She was head of UNEP. She was mentored by Maurice Strong, an international criminal. She's the one that signs the legislation into place, into law. And our legislatures and our councils are filling up with foreigners faster than you can blink. And Goodale says it's not a national security problem. He goes on to say the events that happened on the street behind us are horrendous, but they do not appear to be connected in any way to national security based on the information available at this time, the federal public safety minister said. Canada's threat level remains unchanged, Goodale told reporters earlier. Well, I'm telling you that the Canadian threat level ought to be on high alert, super red, because that's the kind of threat that we're under right now and have been for a long time, and now they're coming in for the kill. This is absolutely disgusting. Now, I'm going to go and see if they got any updates on this thing. You know, when you got the CBC and others who are putting out this thing from Mike McCormick, the head of the police association, that this is the new world order. You know it's out in the open now. And, I mean, this is so damn disgusting. It's ridiculous. Now, I'm hoping that people don't become afraid because of this. I hope they become damned angry because of this. Because you got to get angry at some point. This fear garbage has got to get lost. You can't keep walking around in fear. Because the more you walk around in fear, the more they're going to fear you. And then you're looking to the very people who are involved in this to save your ass. Well, that ain't going to happen. Let's see here. We got a, what is this guy? Chinese cop, transgender Chinese cop. We got a big smile on his face. The Toronto police officer who apprehended the suspect Monday's van attack is in a busy north area north of downtown has been identified as Constable Ken Lam, and experts are praising him for his handling of the arrest. Now, I don't know who these experts are, but we're going to go find out. This is such a crock of crap. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely over the top. Handling of Monday's attack reflects officers' level of maturity and calm, says ex-RCMP superintendent. The nonviolent arrest of the Toronto van attack suspect is being praised by many. Video taking by witnesses shows the suspect apparently pulling a gun when confronted by a lone police officer. Now, there's the question right there. There's the question. You've just had a van go down, I don't know how many blocks, running people over. There's cops everywhere in Toronto. And here you have this guy brandishing a gun at a cop. The cop doesn't blink, doesn't do nothing. I mean, this guy's got his arms extended, looks like it's a gun in his hand. He's pointing at the cop. The cop doesn't back off behind the car. The cop stands right out in the open. Then to me, it looked like he went over to the car and shut the sirens off and then comes back out from the car. And the guy's still pointing at him, and nothing happens. There's something really stinky going on here. Hats off, kudos to the officer. He clearly received very good training, said Phil Gertze, a former CSIS analyst and president and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting. He followed that training to the ninth degree, and he was able to neutralize a guy who had just carried out a horrendous attack or heinous attack. Now the guy is alive. He's not dead, which means you can question him and you can hopefully find out why he did what he did. Video of the arrest shows Lamb arriving to confront the man standing next to a white van with front end damage. The vehicle had just mowed down pedestrians along a stretch of one of Toronto's busiest roads. The death toll reached 10, yada, yada, yada. 14 people were injured. The video shows the man standing next to the open door on the driver's side of the vehicle, his arm outstretched, pointing a black object at the officer. "Come on, get down," the officer shouts after drawing his weapon. "Kill me," says the man. "No, get down," the officer responds. "I have a gun in my pocket," the man says. "I don't care," says the cop. "Get down," the officer responds. "Get down or you'll be shot." The man begins to approach the officer after a few more verbal exchanges, still pointing the black object at him. He kept on taking steps forward, and it is at that point that the officer, I believe, realized that it was not a gun in his hand, who witnessed the scene unfold. The officer does not fire. He holsters his gun, takes out a baton as he strides towards the suspect, who tosses aside the object in his hand and lies down on the sidewalk where the officer handcuffs him. The whole incident was over 37 seconds, and police now say there is no evidence the man was armed. The officer acted smartly, tactically, and courageously, said Muzi, retired Toronto detective sergeant. Police say Alec Menensin, 25, Richmond Hill, is a lone suspect in the attack. He is charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder. Let's see. The incident stands in contrast to footage of other police takedowns in Toronto. I'm trying, buddy. There, my computer's running. I got you.
Yeah, me. I'm still listening.
Oh, I just wondered if you had a chance to. I was busy all day. I don't know if. What other news is going on this story, or if you've had a chance to look at it?
Well, I got it from you last night because I wasn't on news at that point, and then you let me know that this happened, and there's not a lot going on in the mainstream at this point other than they arrested them, and they'll give more information as time progresses, is what I'm seeing. I haven't been on the news all day either. I just got home from work, so I do find it interesting that something happened really fast. I mean, we had that Humboldt incident, and that was pretty painful for Canada. And then this happens, and they're talking about things I've read about talking about driving, people driving vehicles. And I am a conspiracy kind of guy, and I don't know, but I'm thinking there may be a suggestion that because of this incident, that maybe we should get people out of cars and we'll just let...
You know, you're probably bang on that one, because they don't want... this would be a good move to push the... There should be no vehicles in the downtown area, which is what they want to do. They want everybody on transit. Yeah. And so, you know, you never know who's going to run over you at any time. So transit's the way to go, right? That's perfectly logical. When you understand, and I know you understand the game that's being played out here, that is a pretty good sales pitch. Right?
That's a good one.
You know,
10 people dead, 15 injured.
Yeah.
Some guy driving a truck. Maybe we shouldn't be driving anymore because we're not capable of driving properly.
That's a very good point. That's an extremely good point. But this, you know, like they're saying, well, this is going to be a long investigation. They said the exact same thing after the Humboldt thing. And I don't know how you need a long investigation on that. A truck blows a stop sign. 16 people die. What's the long investigation about? You have a truck driver that apparently wasn't trained properly. You have
a good job, truck driver that was trained properly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, well, we're not going to talk about it. We'll just have a long investigation. You know, and I mean, that was really straightforward. Like Toronto's absolutely full of cops, right? So now this guy is standing there, and you got, I don't know how many other cops have got to be around here. So they're letting him stand out there by himself while this guy's waving something that could have been a gun. And in any other case, this guy would have been taken down instantly. But not this one. It's the same thing as the guy in Edmonton. Okay, he runs over some people with a rental truck, stabs a cop, and doesn't get taken down. And then you have someone with Down syndrome holding a butter knife, and they shoot him 6 times. Like, something really stinks here. Really stinks. And
Well, it'll be interesting how it all plays out. Yeah, like, you know, tomorrow's another day. I'm sure they're going to have something new. He got his, I believe, his first court appearance, wow, amazingly, was today. I haven't read anything on what transpired from that, but I'm sure the CBC will have more on that tomorrow. It'll just be an arraignment or a postponement.
Well, you know, we never had any of this stuff prior. We didn't have these shootings. We didn't have people being run over by vehicles. You know, this is all about fearing the people.
Well, it scares the hell out of me. Next time I'm walking down my main street, you know, I'm going to keep looking back.
Well, constantly. Well, this is it. I mean, the people, I forget how far this guy run this van. It was a fair distance. But he didn't just run over and hit some people and stop. 2.2 kilometers. 2.2 kilometers. This van is running down the sidewalk, running people over. And you're telling me in 2.2 kilometers, there's no police on that 2.2 kilometers watching this guy run over people and they don't ram the van? They don't take the van out? I mean, this stinks to high freaking heaven.
One thing I did notice about that as well, though, Ron, was they said they don't consider it a terrorist incident. Which goes back to what I was saying earlier.
Well, right.
Just people in cars are dangerous in general. So therefore...
Yeah, you can't trust anybody in a car or a truck. So it's best we make Toronto safe, right? Because Good Ale's the minister of safety. So we'll make Toronto safe. And we'll all get on the transit. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they banned cars in the major cities. I mean, that's what they want to do. You know, I saw a story somewhere last night that they want to build this like tube thing or whatever so that you can get from Calgary to Edmonton in a half an hour. Well, I've driven there lots of times in the past, and it's like a 3-hour drive. And again, why sit in your car when you can be there in a half an hour, right? This is all about getting people out of their vehicles, putting them on transit, and people are being sold as garbage. And once they got you in these cities where transit is the answer, and why are they putting you on transit? Because transit only takes you where the transit goes. You can't go where you want to go. And you know as well as I do, Chris, you know the rewilding program and that. They want everybody out of the countryside. You won't be allowed to go out in the countryside unless you have an escort. You'll be able to go out and look. I mean, the story of you go to the Rockefeller Foundation, they always use these scenarios. And I talked to, I can't remember which government agency it was. It was a few years ago, and I talked to them. I don't remember what the subject was about, but it could have been about getting people out of their cars. But I'm talking to the government agency, and, you know, I'm saying, like, you guys are using the same scenario base that the Rockefeller Foundation uses. Well, yeah. So what they do is they figure out a bunch of different scenarios, and they don't care which one gets implemented because you all end up at the same place. But it really bothered me because in that one group of scenarios, and then they had this girl in India, and she was looking at the Ganges River, and she's saying, well, you know, I can look at it, and it's beautiful and pristine, but I can never go to it. And I understand why I can't go to it, because when people were allowed to go to it, they polluted it, and they bathed in it, and they did this and that in it. And so it was wrecking the river, and now look at the river, it's beautiful, but I can't go to the river, but I'm okay with that. And that's exactly what they're doing. They don't want you out in the countryside, period. You know, you got that A to A thing for the moose and everything. They got these huge tracks that they're putting in place that are off limits to people, so that the animals can roam free. Why do you think that they're building the cities the way they're building the cities? So they're going to keep you in the city, okay? The animals will roam free. You, on the other hand, will not. So the more I think about your scenario about banning cars in Toronto, makes a hell of a pile of sense. And
it's incremental creep is what, yeah. I see. You know, they're gonna use this, and then there's gonna be another incident.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, they got this driverless cars now, right? And they've got, uh-huh, like you said, the trains and the planes and the whatever taking you from where they want to take you to where they want to take you. But hey, that's a hell of a lot safer than these maniacs running around, jumping into cars and running people over. Crazy guys, crazy people.
Yeah, and here's one for all. If there's anybody here listening from Ontario or Canada or anywhere else, it doesn't matter where you're at. But we have a provincial election coming up now, and we have, the Dyke win of the Liberals, and then we got Doug Ford of the Conservatives. And the basic income is straight out of the United Nations. Make no bones about it, okay? So all you people out there saying, oh, Doug Ford's going to take out Kathleen Wynne. Well, according to this headline, Ontario's basic income experiment would continue under Doug Ford. This goes to the United Nations adequate income. Okay, and the basic income is going to be your adequate income, only you don't have any control over what that adequate income is. They do. And out of that adequate income they're going to give you, which is going to end up digital, you will be able to have adequate water, adequate electricity, adequate food, adequate education, adequate housing. But they decide what adequate is. Okay, and they've already said we're using a planet and a half worth of resources, which means Asmore, Strong, and the Rockefellers have already written down they intend to force you to use 75% electricity and 75% less water. And you just imagine your life. And they're going to take red meat away from you, and you're going to eat grasshoppers. I see somebody was pushing a tarantula burger or something the other day. This is so far over the top, it's nuts. This is way past science fiction, only it's reality. And people got to get a grip on this. You got to. Let's see. Yeah, so I don't know. It's totally asinine what's going on, and
I was watching a video on the brides in Bulgaria. Yeah, I know, it sounds really interesting, don't it?
Well, it's different.
Well, what I'll tell you though is that you pay for your bride, eh? You pay the father of the bride, whatever, depending on how she looks. Depending on how she looks, I mean, the hotter she looks, the more money you pay, right?
But this is in Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they put on makeup. The brides do to make themselves look whiter because it seems to be more attractive to be whiter skinned. Now that reminds me of Japan. Isn't there certain girls that do the same thing there? Is that due to white women are pretty hot, but. Is there a suggestion that maybe there's an intelligence involved to that and you want to reproduce wiser people? I'm a racist, though, so I'm just saying that out of my racist thought. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you see, when we had our nations... We didn't suffer from racism, okay? Because we were all of the same stock, more or less. If you're in Japan and everybody's Japanese, there's no racism. If you're in Europe and everybody's European, there's no racism. Why we have nations, right? If you're in Africa. And you're with your own people, you don't have any racism. So this has all been thrown at us. Are you still white? You're white, right, Chris? Where'd he go?
Well, what's the
No, but you're a white guy, right?
So, well, I'm pretty dark once the sun... summertime.
Yeah.
Some people think I'm black, but I'm racist because I get a tan and I shouldn't because it makes me look darker. And yeah, it's I don't know how to explain that best. I was in jail a couple of years ago, and I was in the middle of summer. I got thrown in jail one of my couple times. And one of my friends that I hadn't seen in a while said, "I didn't know that was you." He said, "I thought you were a black man." I was, because I just worked in the sun all day, every day, until I got arrested. And, yeah, so I didn't know if that made me feel good or not, but I felt good, the sun on my skin.
Yeah, we used to get pretty black.
But no, with, well, but my point is with, like in Japan, what do they call those girls? Geishas?
Yeah.
They paint their face white.
Oh, yeah, right.
In Bulgaria, they paint their face white.
Really? You know?
Yeah, they do. They do. They legitimately. It's proven. I can prove it. I could. Geez, we had time. I could dig it up, and I could put some on in the chat room, and I'll send you some stuff on it. They do it. They want to look white. And why? What's the point?
Obviously, well, I thought Bulgarians. I thought Bulgarians were white.
Yeah, but they put makeup on. The women put makeup on to look whiter.
More white.
More white. Yes.
So more supremacist.
Yeah, white supremacist. Yes.
More racist. More
racist white supremacist. Exactly. I'm going to go recruit a few and bring them home. Oh, I got to pay their fathers first.
That's crackers, man.
No, that's a true story. I'll send you how it works there. I've been doing some research on them, and man, it's crazy. And I'm wondering why. Why does everybody want to be so white? And why do the Jews want to kill all the whites? Oh, I get it. I don't. Maybe I'm making this too complicated in my own mind, but I'm seeing a correlation and maybe a causation as to why people want to be white. Because there's an IQ level that's a little bit higher.
Here's a good story. Toronto's diversity offers a degree of immunity during times of terror. People from across the world call the city home. Excuse me, the city home, and despite the best efforts of some to pit us against each other, we are today too melded to be divided. The impact here is more piercing, for we Canadians measure ourselves to be exempt from terror at a safe distance from the geographical and political hotspots that make targets of global cities. Yet we are blessed with collective defense unique to Toronto. The difference is that we are different from our diversity, offers immunity, at least partially, from the bigotry and blaming that erupts in times of trouble elsewhere. Stop for a second, look and listen to what happened, who it happened to, how the city responded, who were these people. The victims, eyewitnesses, police, and paramedics on the scene were all Torontonians. Yes, but the names and faces featured in the news reports and producing the news reports, eyewitnesses like Ali Shaker, Amar Bahai, Ham Yu Jin, Amar Fokampour, Deputy Chief Peter Wan, remind us that we are uniquely a people from around the world. From every place, every race, every faith, which means that while the terror hurts us all, most of us are in no rush to demonize any one of us. What a piece of shit story this is. Right? We are so many people that we are almost invisible or indecipherable. The old slogan, unity in diversity, is here a reality. If only because we are today too melded to be divided, the old terminology of terrorism may or may not apply to what befell Toronto this week. The difference between terror, overwhelming fear and anxiety, and terrorism, the calculated use of violence and terror to achieve defined political goals, is clearly defined distinction. We don't know whether the motives were merely to terrify or to achieve terrorist goals until police disclosed the results of their investigation. You can't massacre 10 people on a city's main street, and you can't be a copycat killer mowing down people in a van in much the same way as terrorists have in Britain and France without... Without having a colossal impact. Terror and terrorism have different motives, but similar methods, and Toronto's resilience is likely to be much the same regardless. Consider how Canada's multicultural reality helps mute the backlash against the massacre, and also makes us a less obvious target for terrorists trying to make a statement. For who do you kill when you kill a Canadian? If we are everyone and no one, by which I mean no one particular people. As a Forest correspondent, I had to cover suicide bombings in the Middle East with a reoccurring rhythm. A thundering explosion would shake the ground, followed by the... In Israel, the victims were largely Jews. Oh, yeah, here we go. Only sometimes did the terrorists miscalculate when their victims were Arab, Christians, or Muslims killed as collateral damage. The target was obvious. It was the Jews. The method unmistakable, the terrorism undeniably brutal for the victims and appealing to the perpetrators. We got all these different, Pakistan, Iraq. Goes through all of this stuff in Pakistan, they're mostly Pakis. And in Iraq, they're mostly Iraqis. But in Canada, we're everybody and nobody. In other words, we're not a country. Okay? We are a post-national, international law state. In Britain, France, Spain, and America, the targets are also clearly picked for these countries, and their people are incarnations of the White West. And closely tied to global conflict zones and proximity, history, or the homogeneity of their ethnicity. Canada may be descended from the same political and even colonial roots, but our people are more multicultural and infinitely more integrated into society than in other countries. We are a world away from the conflict zones, but not insulated from the fallout. The latest death toll reminds us the world has changed, leaving no one at a safe distance. For today's internet is the ultimate enabler, yada, yada, yada. Now a man with a plan in a van is all it takes to mow people down with deadly certainty in Europe. Vehicular terrorists have been lone wolves who were kindred spirits in Toronto. The terrifying killer may have been a crazed spirit alone in his thoughts. Either way, it is the new terror, everywhere unstoppable. For no amount of metal detectors, pat-downs, computer searches, or water bottle bans can prevent a determined driver from mounting a sidewalk to kill pedestrians, whether on a London bridge or a Toronto street. Anyone behind, here you go, Chris, here's your story. Anyone behind a steering wheel now wields a potential weapon of mass destruction. Anywhere at any time. The difference is that here in Toronto, he can kill people, but not turn them against one another. That is our unique strength. Canadian multiculturalism is a model to the world, an experiment in integration, and remains unrivaled. Now it is being tested, not by the conventional strains of immigration resettlement, by the unpredictable trials and terror of terror and terrorism, which rely on provocation for a reaction that we might turn against one another. That is not who we are, nor who will we become. Now, what he's saying is that only in Canada here, you can mow a bunch of people down on the street, and it really doesn't affect any particular group of people. So in that sense, nobody's going to get too upset about it. I mean, this guy should be taken outside and shot in the head for writing this garbage. But this is what you were talking about. You know, this is what you were talking about. Anyone behind a steering wheel now wields a potential weapon of mass destruction anywhere at any time. Okay?
That's it.
That's what you were talking about, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Right. So they're gonna push the shit out of this now that you can't trust anybody in a vehicle. Because a vehicle now, it used to be a vehicle. It used to be a car or a truck. Now they've turned it into a weapon of mass destruction.
Well, you know what's going to happen first off? You're going to have to pay more money to get your license.
Yep.
Then you're going to pay more in insurance, which you're already paying. Well, my son is paying $200 a month.
Yep. But see, that's what...
probably going to double.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the start of the end.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they're doing with your hydro. It's what they're doing with your water. It's what they're doing with your everything. And they said that. How do we get people to use less water, electric? Price point it. Just keep putting the freaking price up. How do we get you out of your cars? We just gouge the shit out of you till it's not worth driving anymore. Right? And, I mean, this is a concerted plan to demonize anybody that has a vehicle. You know, it's all about demonization of everybody. If you see people out watering their lawn or washing their driveway, their sidewalk, you're going to get people come along and say, oh, you know, you're ruining the environment. I'm just cleaning my driveway. Yeah, well, like, we're short of water, eh? I mean, you get these retards, right? I mean, I had a smoke. I lit up a smoke down at the beach, and I'm getting a hard time because I'm smoking. I'm outside, stupid, right? You know, but then those same people will go to McDonald's and eat that garbage and feel good about themselves. I mean, everybody's gone stupid.
And buy a case of bottled water.
Yeah. I mean, it's over the top. But, yep, there's your story. You brought it up, and there it is. It's been confirmed that anyone behind a steering wheel now wields a potential weapon of mass destruction. And they are going to pump the shit out of that message until everybody's afraid to walk down a sidewalk. Anybody that's driving a car is going to be looked at, you know, what are they up to? Right? They used to be just cars, right? Now they're weapons of mass destruction. And they just keep pulling these damn templates off the shelf, and people don't seem to get it.
Well, the important thing I see on that, like I said, is they don't consider it an act of terrorism.
No.
So in other words, it's you and I. It's anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important for people to keep a focus on when they say that. They're saying, okay, you know what? We've got all the security forces in play to stop ISIS or whatever, whoever the boogeyman is. But this is just you and I doing this now. Yeah. So now we got to watch for that.
Yeah. Everybody is a potential terrorist now.
Yeah. Well, that's the bottom line. That's what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, they've turned everybody into potential mass murderers with their weapon of mass destruction. And, you know, this has got to stop. People have got to wake up. I mean, I don't know, man. At some point, you know, you got to understand that everybody in the media is filling you full of garbage. The police, for crying out loud, are international police. They've all been internationalized. They know exactly what's going down. And then they, I mean, there's so little story here about the actual people that got killed. It's all about the cops patting each other on the back and the experts and CSIS. Well, wait a minute. The guy from CSIS, and I forgot his name right now, who was head of CSIS, he came out and told the government that there's some very nefarious stuff going on between China and the politics in his country. And what did they do to him? Well, he wasn't the head of CSIS for long after that, because he came out and told the people exactly what the hell was going on. And at an open hearing, the politicians all jumped all over his ass, and just lickety-split, he's gone. They're all in on it. You know, who is the real weapon of mass destruction? It's your government. Okay, they're the terrorists. I mean, where did the word terrorism come from? It came from government terrorizing the people. That's where the freaking word terrorism comes from. So who's the terrorist? The government is terrorizing you on purpose with a plan behind it and intends to hand you and your offspring over to the internationalists. And then you got nothing. You got absolutely nothing. Well, no, wait a minute. We get adequate housing. Yeah, and it's going to continue to get smaller. We get adequate water. Well, you're going to be thirsty a lot. We get adequate electricity. Well, you better get yourself a bicycle like in Soylent Green with a generator on it so you can fire up a battery and run a 40-watt light bulb in your house. You're being terrorized, people, under the guise of saving the planet.
I wish you had another hour.
I wish I had supper.
Oh, forget about that. You need another hour on this talk.
Oh.
3-4 hours.
I need to get that tile finished tomorrow.
Well, never mind that.
Never mind the tile?
You're going to save the world.
I got another problem. I don't know whether it even, I'm considering not even running in this provincial. I got so much shit on my plate right now that when I got a call from the founder of the Libertarian Party of Ontario, and he turns out to be a Jew, and we had a really nice chat though, but he's telling me that Jews are actually pretty smart.
Oh, they are.
And I thought, I think I asked him, I said, you talking about smart or tricky, right? You know, because, you know, like we talked about some of the platform I totally disagree with, like free trade, because free trade, you're not going to manufacture anything. So there's a whole slew of jobs and intelligence and knowledge and, you know, all of the stuff that you do when you're manufacturing things is you create new methods of doing things. I mean, it's always on the go. And we don't do any of that anymore, you know. And he's telling me, well, no, we don't need to manufacture anything here. And as we went through this talk, I'm going, you know, I ain't so sure about this now. I might as well run for the Liberal Party or the Conservative Party or the NDP Party because I'm not really seeing. I mean, they have some things in there. But, yeah, I'm running out of time on it, so I'm thinking if I do run, I'll probably run as an independent at this point because I don't want to be tangled up with some of this stuff. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm hoping my sweetheart's warming up my supper. That would make me happy. Anyways, don't go out walking anymore, folks, because, well, you could get run over. So you better stay in your homes and you better keep watching the TV set and you better hopefully have some transit or take a taxi or whatever to work. Park the car, throw the keys away, and, you know, just don't drive anymore. It's not safe. Freaking sad, man. Anyways, I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because you nailed it. I mean, you nailed it because this reporter says you nailed it. Anyways, we're out of time because I hear music. I want to thank you, Christopher, and listeners, and UCY.TV, and I'm going to go get me some meat because we're out of time. Take care, everybody. Come back. Thank you. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water. Sick from air. Making money. They don't care. Caesarship. Force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for the bomb. They